Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Kip Moore.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, good to talk with you guys, man.
So, how are you about the whole touring thing? Are you missing it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like it's a heck of a thing to put out a record in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
You think about any time you've been to shows. Like, it's just as a fan, I think about. You know, I remember going to see Springsteen for the first time at 24, 25 years old, and you know, I'd heard a couple of his hits, you know, but I wasn't familiar with his catalog, and I left and was researching everything he'd ever done.
Right.
You know, and that's the way the whole thing works, you know. And so, like, for me, you know, we put out a record in the first week of June, last week of May, something. And, you know, it was off like a ball of fire. And then, you know, then some other things happened right in the middle of the first week of it. And, you know, it ends up taking a hit, you know. And then people's attention shifts and I can't even go play on the road, you know. And this seems to be the most on fire the fans have ever been about any record I've had. So it's the most vinyl records I've ever sold with any record. In an era where you don't sell any physical copies, it was insane the amount of vinyl records
vinyl.
Everybody wanted this record.
Wow.
So just from the online store, you know, it was crazy. We were all kind of shocked. The label was shocked. We were all just, what in the world's happening? And then when you can't get out and play that record, it's tough. You know, I spent a year and a half making that thing. So, I've canceled everything all year, and this was still, you know, this kind of came up, and they were telling us how they were going to keep it safe and, you know, outside and all this stuff. And, you know, and they were going to make it really small. And I was like, all right, you know, let's try to bring some joy to people.
I love that, man. You know, and I know that writing is a huge part of what you do, and it's something that's very important to you. But like you said, when you can't get out there and play shows, because I also know that is very important to you. That's how you really deliver the music to the fans and give them a whole nother look at the meaning behind it, just besides the recorded version, you know?
Yeah. And I think that we are one of those, I'm one of those artists. We're one of those bands that our career, has been escalated and created this really loyal fan base through the live show.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, it's one of those things where I always tell people, you're always hoping for that big hit radio record. Every artist is, they're lying through their teeth when they tell you they're not.
Right.
You always want that big hit record because, like Merle Haggard said, I'm dreaming of one last big hit record, you know, late in his life, you know, but it's like, you know, the importance of the masses getting to hear one of your songs because that brings people in the door.
Right.
And I've always known that as an artist, you know, I've never tried to write music for it to be a hit. You know, to me, there's two different things. Like when I'm writing a song, I'm never thinking about, is this going to get played on the radio? I write my music from a very honest place. And then you sit back and you look at it and you're like, man, I hope I got something the radio can play. You know, that's kind of how I've always gone about it, because you're always hoping for that hit to bring people in the door. But then it's about who are you as an artist and how you keep them there. And that's something we've always been able to do, is
right,
to grow the fan base through that live show.
And when you say that the recorded music gets them in the door, maybe they hear this radio hit, they start to get familiar with your music, then they come to a live show and they get to see a lot more than just what they heard on the radio, right?
Yeah, and we've created such kind of like a somehow something has happened where it's just like this massive family inside. Like it's like so many, you know, people have been to 100 shows. And there's one lady that brings a shirt. And I've signed it now like 105 times.
That's awesome.
Crazy to me, but you know what happens is these people that might have heard "Hey Pretty Girl" or "Last Shot" or whatever, they come with a friend or somebody just drug them there, whatever it is. They come and then they look around and they see that the whole place knows every album cut and it's this and that. And they're like, how did I miss the boat on this? So then that's the importance of that live show, especially for a band like us, because it keeps that whole thing growing.
So did I hear somewhere to change gears just a little bit? Did I hear somewhere that you're all into rock climbing? Is that something that quarantine boredom brought on? Or is that something that you've been doing all along?
Well, I've always kind of been, I grew up playing the very normal sports, basketball, baseball, that
sure,
stuff. But I was
right.
always fascinated by the extreme sports world, like whether it be skateboarding, surfing, all that stuff. I got into surfing very late in life, some skateboarding. I've always been very intrigued by rock climbing. But I had a best buddy that was like a world-class climber. I have a best buddy that is, and we ended up building this lodge together because he was telling me how much traffic was at the Red River Gorge in Kentucky for rock climbing. So once I started going up there and hanging out in this lodge and hanging with him, I got into it about a year ago, and I fell in love with it. I don't get to do it as much as I'd like to, but for the first 3 months of quarantine, we did that 5 days a week, you know. And these are massive faces.
You're talking about like hanging from your tippy fingers with chalk on your hands. Dude, that's dangerous.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what, the heights part has been tough. It was very tough for me in the beginning because in Kentucky, those ridgelines are, you know, 100 feet in places.
Ooh.
You know, so it's, it gets sketchy.
Yeah, you just gave me cold chills, man. I do not like heights at all.
We both just kind of went,
Yeah, well, it's sketchy when you're hanging up there at the very top and you've just got the tiniest nip of like your index fingers holding you up, you know, kind of thing. You know, it's even though you know you're tied in, you know that you're about to fall, free fall a good 10 feet if you're lead climbing.
Ooh.
It never feels good.
See, it happened again.
You never get used to it.
Ooh. I don't want to fall 10 feet if there's 90 more feet below that.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. Well, tell us about this 7 Days at the Rock documentary that you did.
Well, I mean, it started with the In the Wild sessions, you know, when we were in the California desert, we were filming those acoustic things, acoustic videos of the new record. And we were going to, I had a, you know, tour plan in Australia, in Japan, it was all this Europe. So we were just going to kind of do these In the Wild sessions all around the world. And then, of course, the COVID thing happened, and I found myself in the Kentucky mountains, and I called my videographer out there, and I said, let's wing something. How do we make something great, you know, to really tap into what's going on right now? So we kind of just broke down the whole process of writing this record and the importance of taking things back to the essentials, and drowning out all the noise that this world is constantly pushing in our face kind of thing. And,
mm-hmm.
I felt like it ended up being a pretty special documentary because of, you know, it was unfortunate circumstances, but it ended up being something that a lot of people really have sent messages saying how impactful the whole thing was to their life at that time.
Yeah, you know, I think it's crazy, man, with everything that's happened. I know it's altered our lives and not always in a positive way. But the one thing I can say is I think a lot of people have had opportunities to spend more time outdoors and more time getting in touch with themselves and their family. And that's kind of a cool side effect, right?
Yeah. You know, I think about 2 nights ago, I had about 8 people over at my house. And we ended up playing Steve Harvey's Family Feud on the floor.
I love it.
And we all had a couple drinks and we're all sitting there. And within 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so, I bet we had 4 to 5, like those real belly laughs,
yeah.
Like the,
mm-hmm.
the real belly laughs.
That's the
like
best.
Nothing
yep.
faked. And I kind of looked around. I said, y'all realize that if things were normal, everybody be down on Broadway. You'd be at Losers. You'd be at Midtown. You'd be East Nashville, and you probably go the whole night and not have one of these.
Right.
Like the real belly laughs. You know what I mean? Like everybody's kind of standing around looking for the next place to go or whatever, and it's that is the beauty in this thing, is those kind of moments.
So do you mind if we brag on you just a little bit? Because I'm pretty sure this little piece of information that I have in front of me, you're not going to brag on yourself, but I think people need to know. So can we brag on you just a little bit?
I have no idea what you're about to say.
Yeah, I'm a little bit anxious for you there.
So when the pandemic hit, I'm told that you opened up a $5,000 tab at Wild Cow restaurant in Nashville for those who were struggling financially. And which would have been enough. Everybody would have went, man, that's awesome. But no, it goes on to say that you donated $2,000 additional to the staff at Wild Cow just for working during the whole tornado relief closure and dealing with COVID and all that.
I guess that's one of the things that was picked up on that I've done. But most of the stuff stays under the radar. There's a lot of other things I got into during this whole time that nobody knows about. But my whole point with that was to try to, I just know how, like, we've just been hit by the tornado.
Sure,
right around here,
absolutely.
Right around the restaurant.
Right.
And I talked to the owner, and she's a wonderful woman, and, you know, how they might have to close the doors of this great restaurant. So I was just trying to figure out something I could do to lift spirits and, try to take care of people.
I love the fact that he's struggling to talk about
it. I do, too.
It just says so much about his character.
We're just sitting back here looking at each other going, we'll see where it goes with this. I wanted to take a minute and make sure that people knew that, because it's really important that, you know, in my opinion, it's really important that when you can, you give back to your community. And, dude, that's a big swing. That is a big gesture of, you know, of giving back. And from, you know, me as the community, I'll say thank you.
Yeah, thank you, dude. That's awesome.
You bet.
All right, one more thing, and then we'll let you go. We have the little game that we play on the Mo and Stick Man show called Is, Was, Did, Does. Kit Moore, do you Google yourself?
I have before, a long time ago.
Okay.
But I don't think it was for reasons to actually just, it was, I wanted to see how much BS popped up.
Okay. So I did some Googling, and basically all I did in Google was typed in, is Kit Moore, and then it pops up all those suggestions.
Yeah.
And I just thought what I would do is we would go through some of these suggestions. Some of them were the top. Some of them I just thought, well, that'll be interesting to ask. Do you mind if we play Is, Was, Did, Does?
Go ahead, man. Go
All
ahead.
All right. So we'll start with Is.
Okay.
Is Kit Moore related to Justin Moore?
Hell no. I hope he hears that, too. I love that guy, man.
He's awesome.
He's probably my favorite person to joke with in the music business. Like, we give each other a hard time, man. He'll call me. He just texted me not long ago. He's like, man, you know, he sent me a voice memo text, and he was like, man, as much as I hate to say this, and he had an explicit right there, he said, man, your song sounds huge on the radio, and that pains me to say, because I truly can't stand you.
I love it.
So he That's could awesome. Be kind of that long-lost cousin that no one talks about.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Maybe, but I'll never claim him.
All right, now we'll go with Was.
All right, was Kit Moore a bull rider?
Never.
Okay.
All right.
But I could be.
Well, you do the whole rock climbing thing.
He likes the extreme sports.
Could happen.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? Did Kit Moore play baseball?
Basketball.
Play basketball. All right.
Okay.
Cool.
College. Yeah. That's what I did in college, not baseball.
Okay.
All right.
Got it. All right. And then what does Kit Moore's chest tattoo say?
You going to tell me what it says?
You're telling me. That's what we're asking. That was what the question was.
Counting on a miracle to come through.
Counting on a miracle to come through.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's Kit Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Kit Moore.
Hey, I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all be easy, man. Always good to talk to y'all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.